on June 11, 2007, National Polygamy Advocate Mark Henkel was interviewed by Ken McQueen for Maclean's Magazine in Canada.
Maclean's Ken McQueen.
Good morning, Ken. This is Mark Henkel with TruthBearer.org. How are you this morning?
I am just fine.
Great.
Thanks for calling me back.
Absolutely. Glad to be able to do so. And just so that you know, as we do with all media, as a matter of protecting the quotes from being misquoted, this is being recorded, and just wanted to make sure you understood that.
That's cool.
Okay.
No problem with that at all.
Okay. How may I be of help to you?
Well, I don't know whether you read the story I pasted on the bottom of my email or not.
Yes, actually, I got a chance to finally read it, yes.
Okay, good. So that gives you kind of an idea of what's happening out here in British Columbia.
Right, the whole bountiful thing. I am aware of that, yes.
Yeah, but I wanted to take the story, in a somewhat different direction. And basically, the premise that I'm working on is the fact that, Bountiful has existed for more than 60 years. There's never been a conviction, although many attorneys general out here have been under huge political pressure.
Yes.
To try.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on the assumption that basically, polygamy is pretty much de facto legal in Canada, because no one really is prosecuting it with any reality, and most of the legal opinions indicate that it would get blown out of the water anyway,
the law, should
there be a challenge. So I first of all wanted to get a bit of sense as to whether the U.S. is in a similar situation and whether the law is in the U.S. is vulnerable to a challenge, in your view.
Well, I think that there are differences of constitutionalism between the United States and Canada. And primarily, while the debate has historically been framed around the U.S. constitutional freedom of religion, and I'm aware you have a similar within Canadian...
That's right.
Establishment, was it Charter, I think it is?
Charter of Rights.
Right,
the
Charter.
Which is part of our Constitution,
right,
too.
Right, exactly. And the actual issue of legal issue in America regarding the United States of polygamy is a Tenth Amendment states' rights issue, which is not something that would pertain to Canadian charter and law. So that's actually another whole issue. The Reynolds case, if you're familiar with that, the anti-polygamy case that affirmed it, was actually based on affirming federal jurisdiction of territorial land. And then concocted a nationwide precedent that wouldn't have held sway if the issue to which Reynolds applied was inside a state that didn't have a bigamy law.
Okay.
States would have been able to have overturned it. But that's not an issue relevant to your Canadian situation,
certainly.
But I can certainly address the various questions and issues that you would have.
Okay, well first of all, tell me perhaps in what you've seen, and you must monitor this quite closely.
Oh, yes. We're familiar with Bountiful.
Are there many prosecutions involving, polygamy or bigamy? I'm thinking like...
Pure polygamy. Right. Pure polygamy is where there is no license for any additional marriage,
mm-hmm.
and where there is no other crimes that aren't polygamy and yet are always propagandistically being associated as if they are related to polygamy, such as underage, forced oppression of women.
Right.
Those are domestic issues. Those are separate issues of crime and abuse.
Right, I agree.
Pure polygamy of consenting adults legally is nothing more than cohabitation.
Right.
So there is no ability to really go after it and actually succeed. And that's why in the modern era, no polygamist has been charged, convicted, or even charged where there was no real crime involved.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying? Because really,
this doesn't apply, obviously, to someone like Tom Green, who is...
Absolutely. Or even in recently, the Rodney Holm case. The Supreme Court refused to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for it, they tried to use the Lawrence v. Texas case. And actually, we're glad that the Supreme Court didn't hear the Holm case. Okay. And the reason, well, the reason is, it was actually quite a bizarre set of circumstances in that case. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was a married man, married, well, or didn't get a legal license, but went through the religious marriage with a 16-year-old sister of his existing wife.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. She was 16. Now, ironically, in the state of Utah, in that particular case, that was a Utah case, a person in their 30s can marry someone who's 16 with parental consent. So, legally, one can get a legal marriage of one-to-one with a 16-year-old. But because you can't get a legal secondary marriage, it was considered rape of a minor.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So, the, ironically, the state Supreme Court of Utah had to say, one, that he was not married to her in order to get the underage crime sentenced, and yet had to turn around and have their cake and eat it, too, by saying he wasn't married... saying that he wasn't married to her in order to get the underage, and then turn around and said he was married in order to get the bigamy conviction.
Okay.
You know, it's like, what? Make up your mind. Was he married to her or not? But at the end of the day, it was a case about age of consent and not about polygamy for consenting adults, and when they tried to use the Lawrence v. Texas right to privacy issue, that applies to consenting adults, and the issue of a 16-year-old is not about consenting adults, and that's why the Supreme Court refused to hear it, and we're glad they did, because that allows any coming cases to still apply Lawrence v. Texas to consenting adults.
Okay. Now, from what I've read about you, while you like the impact of the Texas case, you're not yourself a supporter of, say, for instance, same-sex marriage.
Correct. All right. The reality is no one has a right to redefine marriage.
Okay.
Okay. Marriage was created before the invention of government.
Mm-hmm.
It is a human right. It is an individual right. It is not authorized by government to redefine it. And so, just as neither homosexuals do not have the right to redefine marriage, the reality is, go step back, anti-polygamists were the first to redefine marriage.
Okay.
And so they're the ones who don't have the right to redefine it as one man, one woman either.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has the right. It is an individual right for consenting adults. Government does not have the authority for a God-given right of that. So we consider same-sex marriage the biological impossibility of same-sex marriage.
Okay.
Because it is biologically impossible. At the same time, legally, since government has no authority to define it, homosexuals have a right to imagine anything. You have a right to imagine foolishness. But understand the legal position of that humor.
Right.
You know, in other words, they have the right to imagine, but they don't have the right to redefine. And so the mutually acceptable position for everybody, and that's why polygamy rights is the solution that ends the marriage debate in society once and for all, and that is to stop having government infringing the individual right, that government does not have the authority to define marriage, because remember, marriage will exist without government. It existed, it was created before, it occurred before the invention of government, mm-hmm. and it will occur if government collapses.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is wider and larger and bigger than the invention of government. Government does not have the authority to define marriage.
In light of that, you've talked about this as the next civil rights battle.
Correct.
Is this one that you want to have settled in the courts, or do you just think basically courts have no more right to wade into this than government?
Well, the only position for courts is to be arbitrating the reality that government's function is for the protection of the infringement of rights.
Mm-hmm.
Government's role is not the social engineering. And this is actually it's the conservative position to persuade conservatives, and by persuading conservatives with conservative arguments, actually will get the solution resolved. Conservatives will not be persuaded by liberal arguments. They will be persuaded by conservative arguments from conservatives. And that's what we're doing. We provide the win-win solution that both sides of the debate can save face, claim a victory, and everybody thinks they win, and we're all finally done this ridiculous debate. That's how you win a solution.
Okay. Do things like the Mormon fundamentalists and the noise and the side issues of the Warren Jeffs case before the courts right now, do those things
hurt your cause by, you know, by casting polygamy in a, you know, in a negative light?
Well, there is a lot of opportunity for continued propaganda that continues to go. There are a couple media, both conservative and liberal media, basically are not interested in actually reporting facts, but in continuing the propaganda position of their sides. And both sides want to advance a false stereotypical portrayal of polygamy. Typically, liberals want everybody to believe that polygamy is defined by the Mormon paradigm, but of course, by doing so, they've lost their brain. Because, as we all learned in our earlier English languages, a neutral noun is not modified by a missing adjective.
Okay.
Meaning, the word day, as an example, is a neutral word. If I put the adjective sunny in front of it, it's a completely different meaning than if I put the adjective rainy. A rainy day is not a sunny day. You cannot say all days are alike. Some are rainy, some are sunny. Completely different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A neutral noun day. The same thing is true of polygamy. Polygamy is a neutral word. You put a different adjective in front of it, and it has a different basis by which it is applied, believed, and understood. For example, Mormon polygamy has a religious basis that views this ongoing perpetuity of creating new universes of gods and goddesses and all that, and creates an idea that in order for men to be these gods, they've got to have three wives and have all kinds of children and become new gods and all that business. That is the Mormon paradigm, the Mormon reason for why. And if there are issues with that, those are the reasons and issues you've got to deal with, but not polygamy itself. There are other forms. There is secular polygamy, where basically just nothing more than adults with no religious basis, but,
right.
You know, they recognize, hey, you know what, the four of us, we can actually now afford a mortgage together because real estate's so expensive.
Uh-huh.
You know, and certainly an abandoned single mom who's a hamster in a wheel working just to pay for daycare or just gives up and goes on welfare because she doesn't have any other options would certainly be better off in a thriving family of a husband who cares about women and wants
mm-hmm.
to take responsibility and being a parent to the children. That's a much better situation for the children and for her, and she may could choose to do that. There's also Christian polygamy, which has nothing to do with the Mormon paradigm, that is a benevolent, caring, evangelical, conservative Christian value of loving women, understanding that we are currently in the society of dumbed down males, where we have abandoned single moms and marriage phobic males. The biggest joke of America is that men are afraid of marriage. How mentally ridiculous is that? And we're going to actually criminalize men who want to take responsibility, step up and care and be fathers? That's ridiculous. So you can't use a neutral noun and define it only by the worst. To suggest that is to say that all women teachers are going after little boys because of Mary Kay Letourneau.
Yeah.
See, it's ridiculous.
Tell me a little bit about Truthbearer. How long has it been up and running now, and do you have an estimate of, you know, membership or traffic or anything like that?
Well, we have been around as a Christian polygamy as a movement began in 1994.
Okay.
And you can get some of that information over at christianpolygamy.info, info, not .com, but .info /history. And basically it began in 1994 with the laying down of the conservative evangelical biblical arguments that were duplicatable. Others picked it up, and then, you know, that's how a movement grows, right? You know, people pass on the rhetoric and understand the arguments and ultimately realize that there is no way you see anti-polygamy in the Bible under any circumstances. Simply positively not there. It's an invention of when the Christianity transferred from being the persecuted faith of the disciples and martyrs to becoming the political powerhouse of the Catholic institution. That's when things changed, and that's when that doctrine of anti-polygamy was invented. It is not found in the Bible.
Okay.
So it began in 1994, got brought to the internet with this brand new thing in 1997, and that's when it took off. And the internet made it possible where before in history it wasn't, because you will have individual Christians, whether it's Pentecostals, Baptists, or whatever. The paradigm of evangelical Christianity is sola scriptura. You're taught to believe what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. Don't just let somebody tell you what to believe. Read it for yourself, because that's why it's coming out of Catholicism. You don't follow your pope. You follow what the Bible says. That's the belief that you're taught. Okay, I realize some of your readership may not like certain things that I'm saying, but I'm helping you understand what the paradigm is.
Who cares? I mean,
I'm helping you understand what the belief system is.
Sure.
And because of that, individuals do a deep study. And when you do the deep study, you see that, wait a minute, David had 8 named known wives. Moses had 2 wives. Abraham had 3 wives. The 12 tribes of Israel were born of 4 wives. What's going on? If this is such a bad thing and so evil that's supposedly being described, there is no way the holiest men in the Bible would have more than one wife. It would never happen. You know, and the idea of Adam and Eve, well, that story was written by Moses, who the Bible itself shows had 2 wives. A polygamist is not going to write a story that creates an anti-polygamy doctrine. I mean, think about that. That's a no-brainer. So the point is the internet made it possible for individual Christians who do their deep Bible studies. They say, wait a minute, what's going on here? They go on and find out there's others who also have seen this, and that's how it's continued to grow. And so the internet made that possible.
Do you, I'm sure you're asked this all the time, but do you have any sort of ballpark estimate of the number of polygamous families in the U.S.?
We say less than 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, are we talking all manner, secular, religious?
Yes, all manner.
All manner.
Yeah, we say less than 100,000, all manner.
Right.
And the reason why...
Growing, or do you think that's...
Well, it's... You have to view polygamy rites as larger than just the examples of practicing polygamists. Although we're talking only about 100,000 actual practice, less than 100,000 actual practicing, understand that there are numerous wannabes also, not just wannabes, but also people who intellectually assent to the reality that government should not be defining what consenting, non-abusive adults choose to do.
Right.
You know, so the polygamy rights movement is not limited only to practicing. And that seems to be one of the propaganda techniques that the media likes to harp on all the time, is they only want to portray Mormon, because they know if they keep saying Mormon polygamists, but they take out the word Mormon, every time somebody sees polygamists, they see Mormons.
Right.
And they think, well, that's what polygamy is. No, it's not. Use your brain. A neutral noun is not modified by a missing adjective. And yet, just because the media keeps saying polygamous, 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 those particular ones are Mormon polygamists. You can't define it that way.
Yeah.
And because that propaganda keeps going on, another tactic that is used to keep the masses being anti-polygamous is the suggestion that you can only talk about and only think that polygamy is only supported by practicing polygamists, and that nobody else does. And that's just simply fallacious.
Do you get much traffic from Canada?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Actually, all around the world.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. We definitely get it globally. See, the thing is that Christian polygamy changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is that, well, let me step back and give you an idea of what we call the house of cards strategy. The anti-polygamy in society is a house of cards. Are you familiar with what a house of cards is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And each floor of those house of cards are an individual political constituency. The first floor of that house of cards are evangelical conservative Christians. Other floors, feminists, cultural conservatives, liberals. You see what I'm saying? Different types of constituencies,
mm-hmm.
Political constituencies. Not everybody necessarily supports the same thing, but anti-polygamy itself is completely supported as the first floor is evangelical conservative Christians. And they're the ones that every single time the polygamy issue comes out, they're the ones who come out with the Adam and Eve argument, which they're mistaken on, come out with various conservative, supposedly moral arguments, and all liberals can do if they try to overcome it is just use liberal arguments, but you will never persuade a conservative with liberal arguments. It will never happen. And this is the thing that liberals need to understand. You're not going to persuade a conservative with liberal arguments. So, you still there?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is, because we are conservative evangelicals, we come from the same churches, we're saying that, wait a minute, it is totally biblical, and that Christians are called to love women as Christ loves the churches. Christ wasn't a chest pounder. Christ cared. He gave himself and went to the cross. That's the paradigm of Christianity. Christ loves and gives and sacrificed himself. That's the kind of man we're talking about, not a chest pounder, but a giving and caring. And that kind of a man looks across our cultural wasteland and sees abandoned single moms and marriage-phobic males. It's a tragedy. Our country, our countries in this society, it's a tragedy that we have marriage-phobic males. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Men are afraid of marriage. So we're talking about true conservative values. One is, it's totally biblical. You've got to stop calling the greatest heroes of the Bible fornicators and adulterers, because that's impossible, because otherwise they'd be going to hell. You've just said that the greatest heroes are going to hell. You've just contradicted your whole belief system. Okay?
Yeah.
And then we also say, you know what the true conservative position is? Limited government. Not liberal social engineering. It's limited government. Get government out of defining it. Marriage is a God-given individual right. And here's the proof, you believe that also, conservatives, that if government created a law that banned and criminalized heterosexual marriage, suddenly you would be using the exact identical argument we're now making. Government doesn't have the authority to define marriage. And the bottom line is it is an individual right. So we use those conservative arguments so that conservatives can know they haven't sacrificed any principle, they are still working within what they say they believe, and truly can protect it. At the same time, while homosexuals may think they're being insulted by saying, you know what, you have a right to an imagination, the reality of the political consequences, they still have the right to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you get much sense that these arguments have traction in Canada? Are you getting a sense that there's a number of Christian polygamists in Canada?
Yes. As we get through, as we break through the media barricade of liberals that want to portray it as all chest-pounding, male-beating, women-beating men, or you get through the conservative media that want to try to suggest that it's all about following homosexuals, you know, basically everybody wants to protect their agenda, so they don't want their audience to actually know the truth. And so once we can break through, as we keep slowly chipping away that stone in interviews such as yourself and others, we get through that, it's getting there. And certainly every time they hear about polygamy and they go searching, they're going to find us, because we are at the forefront. Because as I said, Christian polygamy changed everything. We can do what nobody else can do. We can't be dismissed as liberal. We can't be dismissed as Mormon. We can't be dismissed as Muslims. We have the absolute total credibility to answer the arguments that first floor of House of Cards always tries to use. We've used conservative arguments and we kick out that first floor. Then what happens? Well, feminists have to accept consenting, non-abusive polygamy, because it's what women want to choose. If a woman wants to choose, then feminists have to accept what a woman wants to choose if a woman chooses this. Cultural conservatives who would like to see women have opportunities to get off welfare can certainly understand the idea of laissez-faire free market economics that allows a woman to perhaps be a second wife and have a good family with a proven quantity. And ultimately, that's, again, the conservative laissez-faire economics. Create an incentive for men to be better and care.
We've got huge numbers of, you know, Muslims who come to our country, and at the moment their plural marriages aren't recognized, but I don't think anyone's naive enough to believe that there aren't many people living in a polygamous relationship, you know, within Muslim households. Does that help your cause as well? Presumably you don't want the state interfering and defining how they choose to marry either.
Well, exactly. Again, the issue is if there is abuse or there is underage, all of those are individual issues that can be addressed with legally. You know, and then there's also, you know, the concern raised about, well, what about social services? You know, that suddenly we've got to, you know, deal with, you know, the other ridiculous suggestion out there that, you know, polygamists are suddenly going to be having all these children, and all these children are going to end up on welfare. Well, again, if we're coming from a conservative viewpoint, we're talking limited government. We're not supporting the idea of government using social services anyway. Mm-hmm. We're not promoting social services as a political agenda. We're saying government shouldn't be involved. Government's about protecting people's rights, not about creating social engineering. With that said, it is my understanding that Canada does have a rather comprehensive, shall we say, social services value system in your country as a society.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, with the whole nationalized health care and things like that, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, with that,
go crazy here.
What's that?
You'd go crazy here.
As a conservative, yeah. That's funny.
Where are you based, by the way?
Of course, we're all around the country, but but I'm calling from Old Orchard Beach, Maine.
Oh, lovely area.
Oh, it's beautiful, yes.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. I guess I have to ask you, are you in a polygamous relationship?
Given the status of my, at the national level, and I guess we could say international, but, because you're across country over there, and I certainly have been of value to you as well, but mm-hmm. international just sounds so larger than large, I guess, or maybe self-aggrandizing. Because of that, I have to protect my family, so I can't answer the questions regarding that.
That's not entirely understandable.
Yes.
But I gotta ask these things.
Oh, of course you do. And I gotta answer it the way I do. That's why it's a stock answer.
Yep. Well, this has been extremely helpful. If you want, I can pop a copy of this in the mail when it's done.
That would be super. Absolutely would.
All right, give me a mailing address.
Sure thing. It's truthbearer.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's P.O. Box 765.
765, okay.
Old Orchard Beach. And that's orchard, not orchid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure as a journalist you'd get that right, but you never know.
You never know.
Maine, or M-E for U.S. letters.
Mm-hmm.
04064.
04064.
Right. And just so that you've got the details, we are a cross-denominational organization, so we're not creating a new religion or a church, and we're referred to as the truthbearer.org organization. Not just truthbearer, but truthbearer.org organization.
Okay, and what do I call you, a spokesman or founder?
I'm founder. Basically, I wear two hats. Obviously, the founder of the truthbearer.org organization,
mm-hmm.
The word "the" is not in the website name, of course.
Right.
But it's, just so that you understand. And both the T and the B are capitalized, by the way.
Okay.
And I am the founder of the TruthBearer.org organization, and because only Christian polygamy can do what it can do, that's why I've also become the National Polygamy Advocate, or if you want to say U.S. National or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Effectively, I could even be the international, if you want to call it that way.
Now, do you get interest, and do you offer support to secular polygamists?
Well, that's where, are you familiar with pro-polygamy.com?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, where op-ed...
There was a link, actually, I think, from them to you, yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that is a place of op-eds and press releases and so forth for secular media.
Okay.
And certainly, I totally am able to speak from a secular viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that it takes someone also being a Christian polygamist, because I can say things a Mormon polygamist can't say.
Yeah.
Because I can actually come against some of the ideas that Mormon polygamy puts out, where if you put a Mormon polygamist, they'd be contradicting their own belief system.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And because I come as a Christian, I can only as an evangelical Christian can I answer the questions that first floor of House of Cards always tries to raise.
Right.
And so the secular polygamists understand this, and Mormon polygamists understand this, and this is why I've been able to do something more on the national level than anybody else, because of our organization,
right.
And because of by being able to answer the arguments that nobody else, I can't be dismissed by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm able to break through, whereas a Mormon or a Muslim or a secular or a Hindu or a Jewish polygamist wouldn't be able to.
Well, thank you. I think it's going to be interesting to see what plays out here and what happens. I think the Attorney General in British Columbia is quite aware that he's playing with a kind of a big stick of dynamite, and if he does actually lay charges in
yeah.
that case, that it may end up blowing
we haven't really even
out of the water.
Right, well, we haven't really talked that much about the Bountiful situation.
Yes.
Well, the FLDS, it's a break off from the FLDS anyway, which is, of course, where the whole Warren Jeffs and Rodney Holm and all them came from, too.
Oh, yeah.
The problem isn't polygamy. The issues that need to be focused upon are, especially within that particular form of Mormon polygamy,
mm-hmm.
that It's the idea of people are sacrificing their minds to the leadership's decision of what happens in their lives.
Right.
You know, you have forced marriage, arranged marriage, underage marriage. Those are all basically decisions of a leadership of a private group. Now, what does that more sound like? That doesn't sound like issues of polygamy. That sounds like more of sex. You could even say cults.
Mm-hmm.
The issues of leadership deciding who marries whom, that's a problem you want to address. But polygamy itself is irrelevant. And that would be the focus that we would say to anyone investigating Bountiful, is that it's not the polygamy that should be pursued. It's what is the issues of leadership control over people sacrificing their minds to the leadership. Because that's what's really the issue.
Good point. And I think, in truth, that is where even the Attorney General would like to go, because I think they realize that they're very vulnerable if they do launch it on grounds of the polygamy law.
Well, because ultimately you have equality in law. If you go after it purely on polygamy, equality in law then requires pursuing every single cohabitator.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't have equality of law.
Yeah.
Because all polygamy is cohabitation.
And of course, in Canada, we already have legalized, same-sex marriage.
Right.
So, yeah. So then it becomes a bit of a discomforting argument. If you can redefine marriage in that case, or you can make that legal, then it becomes sort of, well.
Right. Well, see, that's one of the games that conservative anti-polygamists try to play, is that polygamists are not out to redefine marriage. We're saying anti-polygamists redefine it first, and homosexuals are copying them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So if they really, so the real argument to the conservative, if you want to stop people from redefining marriage, get government out of it. You stop redefining it, homosexuals can stop redefining it, and therefore nobody's allowed to redefine it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real solution. If you really believe that no one should redefine marriage, you're the ones who should stop redefining it too. There's some good sound bites for you.
Yeah, there we go. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Henkel. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. I've been glad to have this conversation with you. And when do you think this will be coming out?
Well, it should be on the streets Thursday.
Thursday.
We don't waste any time.
I see. Do you have online editions as well?
Yeah, but we don't always put the newest stories online right away. But
okay.
I'll give you our website.
Yeah.
It's www.macleans, M-A-C-L-E-A-N-S,
mm-hmm.
.ca.
Okay.
And as I think I probably explained, it's sort of our equivalent of Time or Newsweek.
I understand.
Yeah.
So you're thinking it would be, what, like a week or two afterwards it would show up online?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sometimes takes a bit of time, but there's a search capability there, so you'll be able to type in, Truth Bearer or your name.
Right.
And once it's put online, it'll pop right up.
Certainly.
But there's usually a delay, of course, because they want people to buy them.
Well, obviously. I understand the capital interest, for sure. Certainly. Even in a country that has socialized medicine.
Oh, you bet, yes.
Still got capitalism. That's good.
But anyway, I will throw one in the mail for you.
I very much appreciate that, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too.
Mark Henkel is National Polygamy Advocate, presenting polygamy to the public since 1994. NationalPolygamyAdvocate.com.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.